Well, glory. I hope you brought your Bible this morning. If you didn't, that's okay. You can listen in, or maybe you have it on your phone. Open your Bible or your tablet or your phone, whatever you have. And we're going to begin in Philippians chapter 2 today. We'll keep your finger there because we'll mostly be in Philippians 2, but may have a few more scriptures along the way this morning. So, Philippians chapter 2. Now, how many have ever heard it? You know, we want to be people. And here in the church, we want to be people of like heart and like faith. Amen? How many know that faith really is what we believe, isn't it? It is our persuasions. It is what we understand and what we believe to be true. And we want to be of like what? Like heart. We want to have the same heart that Jesus had when he was on the earth. Amen? And so I want us to look today this morning, and I want us to think about something, because a lot of times, maybe you've been a part of that, but have you ever seen a citywide, anybody here been a part of a citywide campaign? You know, maybe many different churches from different places joined together, and the goal is we want to, you know, win the city, or we want to have a time where people can be born again, and they all come together, you know, different denominations, different churches, they have different parts, and of course that's the goal. We all want people to be saved. How many know that's most important? And we do have Jesus in common with many different denominations, and that's all right. We can fellowship with them to a certain extent, amen. But many times we come together and they say, well, we want to have unity amongst churches, and we should. But what really is unity with God? What is unity? How do we know when we are unified? You know, because a lot of times we don't have revival because we don't have the unity. We should all get in, you know, and this is what people have said. We don't have unity. We should all get together and bring a unity to the city. How many ever heard that? You know, maybe you've seen that. And in a sense, we do. We have our one call of leading people to Jesus, and that's all important. But there's all kinds of ideas. You know, many of them will say, well, we don't believe in praying in tongues. We don't believe in the laying on of hands. So no laying on of hands, no praying in tongues, you know. And many times, it all comes down to a common denominator, which is what? Man's way of doing things. They negotiate, don't they? Isn't that what men do? But we need unity. Unity to them was me or us or many people giving up all my beliefs that they don't agree with. Anybody ever been there? You know, they want you to give up all yours, but they're keeping all that they have. And so there's no real unity. No altar call. We don't, you know, we don't have altar calls in our church. And so, of course, no altar call. No, and no, nothing really much is accomplished. There's not a lot that really takes place. But what does God see as unity? What does he see as unity? How does God see unity? Now we know, of course, Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is, what for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is a good thing. God said it's good. It is like the oil, like the anointing that comes down from the head, runs down Aaron's beard. It fills him. How many ever been in the presence of God? How many know God's presence brings unity, doesn't it? Many times when God begins to move, amen, hearts are touched. People come into a unity, a oneness, because they begin to experience and know God. And so what does God see here? Let's look at the first few verses here in Philippians 2. It says, therefore, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, any encouragement in Christ, any comfort or encouragement of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we go. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. So here Paul describes and begins to describe a path here for unity. What does God see? See, man's way of like-mindedness is what? To negotiate, we said. To be like-minded. Like-minded, what, with other pastors and so forth. But here's what God, what the Word of God says, verse 5, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So in other words, our unity is not necessarily one with another, but first of all with God. And understand, we have to let the mind of Christ be ours. And if we're going to let God, Christ's mind be ours, then that takes away all of our negotiations, doesn't it? Because we're not to change into man's understanding, but into what God has said we are and what He has promised and to His truth. We are to be like-minded with God, and you're in like-minded with God. When we're in like-minded with God, then what? We're in unity, aren't we? When we have His mind, when we understand what He is saying. See, His word and His truth. And when we gain that, unity in the New Testament is not about us being in agreement to a lower standard. But it's when all parties are both arising to the standard of Jesus Christ. How many know that Jesus is the standard? He is the one that we're looking to. And we don't lower our standard for the sake of any person. In other words, we don't want to say, well, we're not going to cast out demons in the church so that people will come. What did Jesus say? These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. This is the first thing Jesus said. This is my ministry. This is how you're to operate. If necessary, if a demon manifests, what do you do? That's when you cast it out. We've cast a few out here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because sometimes the enemy comes. If he builds a stronghold in someone, you can have what you want. Well, what is a believer? You mean out of a believer? Well, it doesn't really matter if you're a believer or unbeliever. If the enemy is controlling you, we want to get rid of him. Amen. Hallelujah. It really isn't something to argue about, because sometimes people do things and, you know, a Christian can have whatever they want. You're really the only free people. Others are bound to sin. They're bound by the enemy, aren't they? But God wants us to be strong in Him and to never, you know, chase certain things. He says, here, let's look again here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He did not consider that. He was not going to, my print on this Bible is a little smaller. I'm going to put my glasses on for a minute. He didn't see that as a need. He didn't see it as something that he needs to hold on to. He left all of his heavenly ability to walk as a man, didn't he? He didn't see the need that he had to be equal with God, but made himself of what? No reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior, willing to leave all of heaven for us. Amen. But here we see that God wants us to be strong in Him, not chasing the spotlight, but also we're not running from it. If God places you in a place where you become in the spotlight, it's not your fault that His presence begin to come. I mean, if you walk by somebody and they get healed, it's not your fault if you get in the spotlight. Amen. Or if a devil starts manifesting, you know, you're out here in the Walmart and something manifests because God's presence was upon you. His glory so clothed you, it was able to ooze out to an atmosphere around you and touch someone, and they were set free. Well, you might be put on the spotlight, we might say, right? You were there, but we don't run from the spotlight either, nor do we try to run into it. We are here to give glory to God. All ministers touch people's lives, and it's all God. But, you know, it's all what God was thinking. The minister for being a part of it. We, you know, sometimes people start thanking the minister. He starts thanking you, and that's fine. Thank you very much. But what do? We go into as we enter in, we're alone and we get before God and we offer Him all the glory because it's what all do Him. So we're not here trying to gain some glory from what God does through us. Because what God does, He begins to promote Himself in you and I. Amen. He says, I have enough truth in you. As we begin to walk in the truth of God's word, He says, I've got enough truth in you, or in myself, in us. I have enough truth in you. How do we get so smart or such wisdom? We become humble enough to let God speak through us. We allow ourselves to realize I don't have the answer in and of myself. I must have the help of the Holy Spirit. I must have the help of the Father. And through that relationship and fellowship with Him, we become found in Him. And apparently He became, you know, Jesus humbled Himself. We humble ourselves. Verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And many times we are obedient, but do we think about becoming obedient to the point of the death of our own flesh? See, Jesus was constantly submitting His will to the will of the Father, wasn't He? He continued, He says, I only do those things that my Father says do. He wasn't looking for glory yet. He wasn't looking to be glorified, I should say, or to be in the spotlight. Yet many times He became there because of the things that God began to do through Him. And as you know Him and as God exalts you, the same spotlight will come on your life. Do you not think? I mean, think about this. If you become that believer to where when you pray, the blind see. When you pray, things begin to happen. I've been reading recently about a lady. Her name was, they called her Mama Mary Jenkins. She was the spiritual granddaughter of Smith Wigglesworth. They said she raised 27 babies from the dead in her life by the Spirit of God, by the power of God. Now her life was one of the Spirit, one where she pursued God. Now many times, you know, we read in history just a few. There's not too many people. I mean, we don't read of hundreds, do we? But just a few that really pressed into God. You said, well, so there must be a reason that we are reading about them today. Why are we reading about Smith Wigglesworth? Why are we reading about Mary Jenkins, who pressed into God and had raised the dead? And the great story of her, where God led her, begin to speak to her, to go to Arizona to a hospital. And there she found a couple who had conjoined twins. Those twins were joined together, and they couldn't separate them. But through prayer and the power of God, she prayed, and they were supernaturally separated by God. And she left the hospital with them trying to explain to the media how these twins were separated as she walked out. Hallelujah. The presence and power of God available to us when we what? Humble ourselves and we become obedient to God all the way to the place where we're willing to lay down our life, to not seek after the glory of man or even great things with God, but to seek Him, to know Him. And as we know Him, God can promote Himself in us. When we gain that truth and we allow Him to speak through us because of who He is in us and because of our understanding and our oneness with Him. Hallelujah. Well, He wants us to have that same mind. Now here we can see that also here in John 17. Keep your place there in Philippians 2. We'll be going back there. We'll go to a few places here, but we'll be coming back there. John 17, verse 20 says this, 20 through 23. Says, I do not pray for these alone. Jesus is offering His great prayer to the Father right before He's going to the cross here. He says, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who I will have in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now he's talking about a oneness that takes place in a relationship with God when we truly believe who He made us, which was sons and daughters of the living God. How many have been adopted into the kingdom? You become a son of God. Welcome, son of God. He loves you, child of God. He said the same kind of glory. In other words, the same kind of a spirit that Jesus had. We've been talking about that new man on the inside, haven't we? And living out of that spirit. And we do that through fellowship with God. And out of the overflow of that fellowship comes relationship with other people and divine connection, divine appointments, divine manifestations in God's power and His goodness and His holiness and His righteousness that pours forth from within you. Because in these last days, we shall be a strength of righteousness. We shall be strong in Him. We must know Him. We must walk with Him. We must have His holiness. We must have His Spirit. We must have the joy of the Lord above the circumstance that we're facing. Because the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're going to face many things in this hour. But God has said, we can be strong in Him. We can be one with Him. We can have His mind. We can have His purpose. And when we have His mind, and when we know His purpose, when we understand who we are, why we're here, and what God wants us to do, the glory of God begins to be manifest in the earth through us as we are one with Him and we'll be one with one another, and God's glory shall come, and great things shall be done. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at Acts 2 for a moment. Hallelujah. How many are excited to walk with God? How many know this is an hour and a day that we need to stay strong in Him? It is a time right now of the intercessor pressing in and seeking Him and knowing Him, spending time in His presence and preparing, for the days are growing more and more evil as we speak. Even now, we see it every day. Things are changing faster and faster. But this I say, the glory of God is still coming. It's in you and it's in you and I, but it must be developed to the place where it is our first nature, where we understand how He operates and how He uses you and the presence of God and the kingdom of God which is in you can be established in the earth, that men's lives be changed, that you be a strength of righteousness, a strength of peace, a tower of refuge, because many will come needing help, needing Him. And we, me and you, we have that answer. We're going to need every one of us. Hallelujah. Verse 42 says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They had koinonia together, the Greek word says. An association, a partnership that they walked in together. A participation, you know, a family that walked together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And there was a power of unity that came. Verse 43, and then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Now here they are, continuing steadfastly in the truths that were taught to them. The doctrine, the teachings that the apostles had made known from Jesus. He said, keep my word. What did he say? Go ye into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to observe what all that I have commanded you. This was the command to the disciples to hold fast to the teachings of Jesus. And he desires a unity with him. A oneness that we walk in. That is the first place that we need to understand. The true unity begins in a unity with God. A unity in understanding who He is. A unity in understanding His ways. A unity in fellowship. A unity in prayer. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 4. We'll begin here. Let's just start at the first verse, 1 through 6 here. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Hallelujah. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit. Hallelujah, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. How many know God is in you? He is one with you. He came and made His home with you. He called you to be a son or a daughter of God, to walk with Him, to know Him, to understand His ways as we get to know the Lord and they're walking here. He said, hey, we are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How do we do that? We have the same mind. We have the mind of Christ. We don't get to choose what is truth and what is not, what to leave out of the Bible. We're to take His Word and let Jesus be our example. We do not lower the standard for any reason, because even if you're not quite there yet, how many know? We can mature. We can grow. We can begin to develop and come to that place where we're walking like Jesus, where we're walking like the apostles walk. When your shadow goes by, that's what I'm talking about. Your shadow could heal somebody. Do you understand? There's power in you when you know Him, when you spend time with Him. How many know He begins to rub off on you? Anybody ever go somewhere? You know, you have a prayer meeting and you go and you sense Him all over you. You know He's with you. I remember one time I went there and we had been praying that night. I got home from the prayer meeting. Sure enough, there's a guy out here on the sidewalk, and there's like a balcony there, and kind of went around all these apartments upstairs. And I was going to my apartment, and he cries out to me, you know, "Oh, can you help me, brother?" And he'd been drinking, you know, and I could see his alcohol there with him and so forth, and that's fine. And so I went over to talk to him. I said, "Really, sir, I mean, I can't really help you, but I know who can. His name is Jesus." "Oh," you know, and he got all upset. He was going to hit me. I said, "In Jesus' name, you're not." You know, and he's the one. I said, "You're the one that asked for help. You know, I can help you. You know, Jesus can help you. I can help you know Jesus." "Oh, in Jesus' name, you're not going to hit me, you know." I mean, it's like 11 o'clock at night, so it's getting late, you know. I'm just trying to, you know. And finally, he ran off. He took off. I don't know where he went. He finally just took off. I said, "Okay. I think I'll wash some clothes and get ready for bed, you know." So I threw a load of laundry in the washer real quick, and I was kind of getting myself ready and go down a minute, throw it in the dryer, and then I'm going to go to bed. So I went downstairs to the laundry room to remove my clothes from the washer and put them in the dryer. And here he comes. And I said to him, I said, "Do you want help or not?" "Well, yes, I do want help. I want help." Well, how many know sometimes you don't know what to do? How many know, what do you do when you don't know what to do? We begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, don't we? I said, "Well, I'm going to pray for you." So I just laid my hands on him and I start praying for him. You know, "Oh, yun shunda shunda," you know, and I prayed, and it seemed like forever. But it was probably about 3 or 4 minutes, you know, maybe 5 minutes. All of a sudden, whack, he hits the concrete. He's just out. I said, "Oh, my Lord." I'm going, "Wow," you know. And then, you know, when you're standing there, it just seemed like forever. He's laying there like forever. Any time, Lord, you could bring him up, you know. But he's laying there. How many know God's working? Amen. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, he's so working. It was awesome. So the lady came down. She said, "Oh, you just work on that." She said, "I'll throw your clothes in the wash, in the dryer for you." I said, "Oh, thank you. I appreciate that." So she was putting my clothes in the dryer while I'm working with this guy and just praying quietly, waiting for him to come up. Finally, he comes up, you know, a few minutes later, and I help him up. And I says, "Well, are you ready?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "Just pray this. Just pray with me. Say, 'Oh, God, I need you to save me. I need you to fill me with the Holy Spirit.'" And he starts praying in tongues. But he's still kind of drunk. So, "Oh, Ramon," he gets a little bit loud. I said, "Yeah, why don't you come up to my apartment a minute, you know. Come on up here. Let's not, you know, make a bunch of noise down here and wake everybody." So we went up to the apartment. We prayed for a while in the spirit, 10, 15, 20 minutes, something like that. And I gave him some materials, you know, to help him grow and so forth. And he left, you know. And so anyway, that was a divine appointment that God set up, that he could be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. And how many believe? God begins to work. You know, even if someone gets saved, you lead them to Jesus, they don't forget that experience, I guarantee you. Amen. We had 8 boys sit right here. Right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, 1 girl. But anyway, I think we had 7 actually the first day. 6 boys and 1 girl. And then the next day they brought another boy and he prayed to receive the Lord. But they came in saying, "We feel God energy here. We want to talk about God." And they were interested. And they spent about 45 minutes here just listening to the gospel. listening to the truth of Jesus. Yes, we all want to pray and receive Jesus. Are you sure? You mean all of you? Yes, all of us want to pray. And they sit there on those chairs and all of them put their hands just like that and bowed their head and prayed and said, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I surrender to you. And we prayed for them and ministered to them, and they left. And they said, can we come back tomorrow? We would like to get more prayer. Sure, you can come back tomorrow. They came back the next day. The next day we kind of circled up and we talked about the Lord, talked about some of their issues, prayed with them again. Some of them came on that night. A few of them came that Wednesday night for part of the service. How many know when you're young, 10 or 11 or 12, you know, you got to get permission from your parents, right? You know, so they could only stay so long because they've got to be home at a certain time. So they did come and stay, and we gave them Bibles, and God bless them. We've been praying for them because right after that, of course, the COVID was on, you know, and it hit again, and people couldn't go to church and things like that. But we've continued to pray for them. I still see. Matter of fact, I saw Liam right out here yesterday. I see him quite often. They just live right back here. Few houses, and his two little brothers been coming around too. They, Malcolm and Zachary, they come riding their bikes around. They always stop when, you know, I'm around, come talk to me. So praise the Lord. They're interested in the things of God. They don't forget what God has done. You know, it's never a loss when somebody comes to Jesus. Amen. There's always hope. Praise God. But here, I'm getting off my deal. My point was, is there's a unity with God that brings a presence. There's that unity with God when you know Him, when we begin to understand who He is, and there's enough in you that God can promote you and bring you to that place where He will use us. There's a oneness with Him, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. He is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. How many believe that today? You know that oneness with God is number one. Hallelujah, glory to God. And we have that mind. 1 Peter 3:8. We're going back to Ephesians here just a second. 1 Peter 3:8. Wow. Take me longer than what I expected. 1 Peter is right back here, chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse number 8 says this. It says, finally, all of you be of what? Of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. But here is this, he is saying here, finally, all of you be of one mind. You see what the Lord is saying here in Ephesians 2. He said, when we have one mind, he's not talking about compromising and negotiating with the ways of men's thinking, but to have one mind with him. Amen. One mind, one heart. We're found in him. Jesus was found in him, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, here we got, well, it started 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You say, well, you know, what really makes wisdom come from for you, or what makes you so great in God, is when we're willing to say what he said. Whatever he asked you to do, we become obedient. Even if it doesn't make sense to our natural mind, we crucify that natural mind and we obey what God says. We do as he does. We begin to spend time with him. It doesn't look like it's moving me anywhere. I've been praying and seeking God. I've been worshiping God. I've been reading the Word of God. And it doesn't look, Pastor, that anything changed in my life. But God is moving. He is changing you from the inside out, where all permanent change takes place and the glory of God shall be displayed as you know him, as we walk in him, as we understand his truth, that at the name of Jesus, here we go, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And that's what begins to take place when we bring forth His truth. Why? Because it's not you they're seeing. It's the wisdom and the power from heaven. It is the wisdom of Jesus that comes from your mouth when we allow Him to speak what He would say. Amen? How many know He has wisdom that you don't have? He has ability that you don't have. And He lives in you. And when we learn to yield from our spirit man, listening to Him, yielding ourselves over to Him, praying in the Holy Ghost, worshiping God, it is then what strengthens. We become a strength of righteousness. Hallelujah. We become that bond slave with Him. He said that we should follow the same path that Jesus had. No false humility, to have no reputation, and to be a bond slave. Owned by our master. How many want to be owned by Him? You see, a bond slave is set free from the master. The master comes and says, oh, you're free. But a bond slave says, no, I want to. I choose to serve you because you're a good master. How many know Jesus is the good master? Amen. Sin was a terrible master. But you choose to remain a slave. I choose by my will, Lord, to serve you because I love you. I have come to love you, Master. I don't have to. I get to serve with you, Lord. And I want to thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Now the servant we choose to serve. How many know what that servant is? Luke 17:10. Very quickly here, I'm going to go to Luke 17:10. Just for a minute. I could read the whole part, but you read all that, you know, 5 through 10 there. But let's look at verse 10. He says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say we are what? Unprofitable servants. Why? We have done what is our duty to do. How many know servants have duties? They have things to do with the master. See, He wants us to continue to grow, to continue to mature as we work in the Father's kingdom. What? To bring forth His will in the earth. See, the world is unwilling. They're unwillingly bound to sin. They're slaves to sin. But Jesus set us free, and we choose to be a slave or a servant of His by choice. Jesus was willing to follow the Father, His will, to lay down what? His whole life, even to that point of death. Let's look at 12 and 13 for a minute. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure. Now, He's not working in us to will and to do necessarily for our good pleasure, but for His good pleasure. Because it is His will that all men be saved, right? To come to the place, follow, you know, to come to the truth. But He wants us to understand. He wants us to have the heart of being like-minded with Christ. Whether you stand before 1,000, before a few, or before one, we can't do it like the world does it. We don't have any compromise. We can't change the standard of Jesus, who God has given us. His standard is high. His standard is perfection. His standard is walking righteously. His standard is holiness. His standard is what? Character that has integrity. where we do that means you do the right thing when no one around you is looking, only you and God. And you do the right things. You love like Jesus loved. You forgive as He forgave. Hallelujah. It's not for me to decide my place. You're not a leader to be the boss or the king. We are the servants of God because Jesus is King. Amen? How many know that He is Lord, that He is King? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God exalted Him to that place greater than we'll ever be. Now we are with Him. We are seated with Him. Right? Above all the work of the enemy. And yes, we work with Him. But we're also here on this earth. How many know you're still in an earth suit? You haven't got your glorified body yet. So what is He saying? What do you mean? We're seated with You. Yes. In the sense that it's as good as done in His eyes. Amen. How many know you have a place in heaven? You have a place in Him. And your authority is from Him. The same authority that Jesus walks in, you walk in. You have the same abilities. You have the same power. That same resurrection life that's on the inside of Jesus lives in you. Welcome to the family of God. Thank God we've been changed. We've been born again. Amen. We were born from above. Our spirit man was made alive. And we now have truth. And we can walk in Him. And He alone is our example. He alone is the one that we look to. Let's look at the 19th verse. Let's just skip down there. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." Now here, we're to be in heart, one in heart and in doctrine. Servants of Christ and servants of people and servants to the truth of His teachings. We haven't failed. Just because someone's not interested or they leave you, you didn't fail. A son with the Father. We are one. We're a son walking with the Father. And He serves with Him in the gospel. We serve with God. What? In the gospel. Verse 22 says, "But you know His proven character, Timothy's proven character, that as a son with his Father, he served with me in the gospel." Paul is saying, "I'm going to send my son to you who has my heart. He is one with me in teaching and doctrine." Why? Because we both have unity with the Father. We both know the Father. He says we're saying the same thing because we understand the truth of God's Word, and it brings a unity that no other can bring. Because knowing Him and walking with Him, living as a bondservant to the Master, will produce a unity that will bring forth the glory and the power of God that we have not yet touched, but we are pressing into and we are going to see. Hallelujah. Father reproduces Himself. As a father, you can see the Father in them. They could see Paul and Timothy. The same truth, the same doctrine, the same power, the same wisdom. He brings forth the same thing. And when you and I know the Father, how many know? You are one with the Father. You're going to bring that same truth that came through Jesus. And the Father, fathers don't depend on children to take care of them, do they? Do fathers take, the father takes care of the child, right? The child doesn't pay the father. So we got to remember that we are to pour in to those that come to the Lord or come forth, or come to us to receive from the Lord. If we pour into them what? Freely. We don't charge. The gospel's not for sale. It is a free gift. And the truth comes freely. So, So therefore, we're not looking necessarily, we're not looking for the limelight, are we? We're not looking to be seen by man. We're not looking for the promotion of men, but we're looking for a fellowship with the Father where all that God said can then begin to be done. Are you hungry to know Him today? Are you hungry in that fellowship, in that unity, in that oneness with Him, to understand that Jesus is the ultimate one that we are reaching toward? He is the standard. We don't lower the standard for anyone, for any man, but we keep the standard what it is. And His name is Jesus. And how He walked in the earth. He said, as I am, so are you in this world, in the sense that you have that same spirit. You have the same capacity that Jesus has to walk with the Father. Oh, Lord have mercy. I know that'd get me kicked out of some places. But that's okay, because it's still the truth. God said, I made you one, that you may be one with the Father, one with Jesus, one with the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And you can walk with God. Amen? And you can produce. We can grow. Say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, you can grow. You can continue to press. You can continue to fellowship with Him. What are the things that help us grow? Praying in other tongues. It's so important that we be not deceived. Why? Because it is a revelation gift that you can use anytime you want, as long as you want, as much as you want. You can pray in other tongues hour after hour and fellowship with the Father and bring forth His mind into you, into your heart, into your life. Amen. We fellowship with Him in that, and in worship, and in the Word of God. We have to. This is our foundation. This is His truth. This is His love letters. This is who He is, and we need to let Him bring those truths forth to us. How many are ready? You want to let the Holy Spirit help you grow up. You want to let Him help you enter in to the standard that Jesus walked in of holiness, of righteousness, of freedom, of faith, of grace, of wisdom, of power, of unity with the Father. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. Lord, I thank You that we're encouraged, Lord, to have one mind with You, to walk with the Holy Spirit in truth and in power and in love and in unity, Lord, to walk one with You, O God. We want to be like Jesus, Lord. We want to walk toward that perfection. We want to walk in that righteousness, to where there's a maturity that comes in us, to where You can say, yes, I have enough truth in You to be poured forth into the earth. Oh, saints of God, let's walk with Him. Let's seek His face. Hallelujah, Father. We want to know You. We want to walk with You today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. How many are encouraged today? How many want to spend a little more time with Him? Get into that truth. Let the Holy Spirit begin to teach us. Let Him bring His mind. So many things happen when we spend time with Him. It can't, you know, sometimes it's difficult to explain it all. Because He brings not just truth, but it's a transformation. In other words, you are transformed. I mean, who can explain exactly how a butterfly gets in, you know, a caterpillar gets in that little cocoon, he spins and becomes mush and comes out a beautiful butterfly. You know, we don't know everything that takes place in there, but the Holy Spirit does. And we know that it will take place and you're coming forth. Amen. How many are there? See, the longer we just stay in that cocoon with Him, it's going to happen. We're going to come forth. You're going to be all that He desires. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Anybody? Well, let's pray. Just hang on a minute. Let's just worship Him a little bit. Let's just worship Him and thank Him for His truth, for His oneness with us. Thank You, Father. We worship You. Magnify You. I love You, Jesus. That's right. Right up out of your heart. Just tell Him how much you love Him. You don't have to speak real loud, but you can voice that to Him. I love You, Lord. I glorify You. I thank You for saving me, Jesus. I bless the day that I bowed my knee to You, Lord. and that you became my Savior. I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. I just want you to know I love you, Lord. And I want to surrender more to you. I want my whole life to belong to you. I worship you, Jesus. I glorify you. I magnify you. I exalt you, Jesus. Thank you for making your home in me. Thank you for causing me to have oneness and that I can know the Father, that I can know God, that I can walk with you in truth, and that truth will cause freedom, not just in my life, but in the lives of those around me. Oh, Lord, I want to be your friend. I want you to call me friend, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to know you so much, Lord, that whatever you desire to do, you can do through me, Lord, through my life, through my surrender, Lord. I love you, Lord. I worship you. I choose to be your servant. I choose to be your slave, Lord. Draw me near, Lord. I want to know you. I want to walk with you, Lord. I love you, Father, so much. I love you so much, Lord. I want to please you, Father. I want to hear those words, Father, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship you. Glorify you and magnify your name forever. We give you praise and honor. We give you glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We worship you. Give you praise. Give you honor. We vow to give you all the glory. To give you all the praise. To separate all of it to you. Lord, we couldn't thank you enough for all that you've already done in our heart. We thank you for how much more you want to do. Create in us, Lord, the things that we lack. Create it in us, Lord. Draw us in. Let us cultivate that love. Cultivate that relationship with you. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Worship you. Glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.